Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals ongoing in Boston, and the Celtics continue to lead the Cleveland Cavaliers 35 to 23 with 6.5 minutes to go in the second quarter. LeBron James not getting a lot of help from his teammates, but that is nothing new, unfortunately, for LeBron James. We welcome onto the show right now, making his weekly appearance with me. Always great to have him on, and especially appreciate him making some time on a long weekend. Brian Geltzeiler, Hoops Critic, at Hoops Critic on Twitter. You can catch him on Sirius XM and NBA TV as well. What's happening, Geltz?
Hey, Shawnee, how we doing, bud?
I'm doing good, man. So, Geltz, if the Cavaliers go on to lose this game, how many questions in to the press conference until LeBron gets asked what his plans are for next season?
Listen, I probably think when he's asked that question, he may get up and walk out and eat the fine, because we know he can afford to. So I don't, you know, but it probably is something that'll be asked pretty quickly and he'll shut down pretty quickly. But this, I mean, tonight really reminds me of the Saturday Night Live skit, the other Cavaliers. I mean, if guys aren't dropping off his dry cleaning, what are they doing for him? Because they're certainly not doing anything on the court for him. I mean, that's what a mess this ends up being tonight. And you look for even a guy like George Hill to assert himself a little bit on the offensive end of the floor. He has not been able to do that. Thompson's been the only guy that's given him any kind of help whatsoever. And listen, it's tough. I mean, because even in the way they're running ISOs, they're crowding LeBron's side, not allowing him to get to the rim. He's settling for a lot of poor shots, a lot of perimeter jump shots he doesn't need to take. But here's the thing. He doesn't have a lot of choices. And the thing for the Cavs is going to be very important going forward here is they have to continue to push the tempo much more than they've even done here, because they need to get a lot of easy buckets. That's only happening early in the shot clock. The way Boston defends, their team defense, makes it very hard to get to the rim when you get in set up half-court offense, especially because this Cleveland team doesn't have enough shooting to properly space the floor. So it's a big-time challenge for this Cleveland offense against this Boston defense. So far, they've looked pretty good, and you're seeing really what Kevin Love brings in terms of having just another guy you can pour in the post to who can get his own shot. Cleveland's really lacking that second scorer name. This is not a wonderful sell on LeBron to stay with a group like this for next year.
Yeah, Geltz, I'm glad you brought up Kevin Love, because I'm looking at the box score here, and you talk about a second scorer trying to find somebody to score points on this team. Right now, LeBron has 14. The next guy with the most is Tristan Thompson with 4. If you were picking teams, let's pretend these two teams, as constructed tonight, so take Kevin Love out of it. If they were sitting on a playground, the two teams tonight, and you were picking sides, LeBron obviously is your first pick. How many Celtics get picked before you get to a Cavalier?
Six. Six, right? Think about it for a minute. All right, Horford, Brown, Tatum. Rozier is 4.
Yep.
Right? Morris is 5 and Smart is 6.
Yeah, wow. That's unbelievable.
That. Anybody on that Cavs side you take first?
No. Yeah, Bruce like the follow-up.
Who, right? No one really, right?
Right. Like, is Jeff Green the worst second-best player on a team that's been in a Game 7 of a conference final?
Well, it was funny. I was doing a hit earlier on Fox Headline at Sirius XM, and they asked me, you know, who really needs to give LeBron the most help tonight? And my answer was George Hill and Jeff Green. And I said to myself, well, that's not exactly the kind of big three that LeBron just sought out when he left Miami to go to Cleveland. You know, it wasn't like me, George Hill, and Jeff Green playing in a Game 7 of a conference final in 3 years. That's not exactly the way the blueprint was. But here he is in that spot here. You know, you can make whatever case you want about him driving Kyrie Irving away. But the bottom line is this. The team that Kyrie Irving was traded to has him on the bench in street clothes. He still should be able to take care of business here today. And by the way, the Cavs are not out of this game by any stretch, but they're going to have to find other sources of offense that aren't wearing number 23.
Yeah, Geltz, and I want to talk about the Rockets and the Warriors here in a second. In some ways, I feel like LeBron is the perfect transition topic for that, because we've talked about LeBron and what's going to happen with him next year. Just kind of, you know, anecdotally, 30,000 feet kind of thing. But when you're in game seven of the conference finals and you've scored almost all of your team's points and you're losing by 12 points, it starts to get a lot more real now. You know what I'm saying, Geltz? And given the fact that it's gotten a lot more real, both for LeBron and for the other teams, namely the Rockets, it would be one of the logical landing spots. I guess, like, what's your, just in your mind, kind of the current state of the union of where LeBron could wind up next season?
Well, listen, I think that he's a Cavalier till he's not a Cavalier anymore. And I could certainly foresee a scenario where he approaches that ownership and says, if you guys are willing to trade this number 8 pick of the draft for a player that can help next year, I will opt in for another year. Because they do know this about LeBron James. And Brian Windhorst had said this on my NBA radio show, which was that the understanding is that he's very concerned about moving again and what it'll do to his legacy. So you know, and LeBron right now, that's what he's playing for. He's out here. This is all about legacy to him. So I think moving again, I don't know how fast he's going to be to do that. I doubt we'd see him in L.A. I don't think he necessarily leaves the East. I know it's nice to talk about him joining the Rockets and challenging the Warriors, but the cap gymnastics for the Rockets to do that would be awfully difficult, and LeBron would end up having to take a lot less money than what he would take elsewhere. And not to say he wouldn't do that, but it's that path isn't necessarily a clear path back to the finals either. I mean, it's Philadelphia on the radar screen. Philadelphia very well may be on the radar screen, but is that where he wants to hang his hat for the next, you know, 4 or 5 years and finish his career? I don't know. I mean, there's also the school of thought where that LeBron could essentially, if he goes and takes another team to a final or wins a title with another team, being the lead dog on three different title teams is something that could cement a legacy in its own way. So there's several things that could certainly come about here. But when you look at his possibilities of staying where he is next year, I'm not sure that the case the Cavs want made is what's happening on the court here in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
No, that would be a terrible thing to bring in as evidence in a court of law. No question about that. Brian Geltzeiler joining
me. That's evidence from the other side. You know?
Yeah, and you got that right. Brian Geltzeiler, HoopsCritic.com, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. All right, Geltz, let's get to Game 7 between the Rockets and the Warriors. The Rockets are about a 6-point underdog. It's not looking great for Chris Paul. So let's assume for a second that there's no Chris Paul in this game. Can the Rockets pull this off in Game 7? And if so, what is the one, like, non-negotiable stat or element of the game that has to happen in order for them to win that game?
Well, I know it's oversimplistic, but they're going to have to hit more threes. They're going to have to hit a higher percentage of their threes. And it comes down to one guy. And it's funny, you and I talked about this off-air. It's, you know, when you look at what happened when James Harden left the game, in the early second quarter of that game, and Eric Gordon was the lead dog. Gordon didn't look like he wanted to be the lead dog or was comfortable doing it. They need Eric Gordon to act like Chris Paul. He won't be as good as Chris Paul, but he has shot-making capabilities. It is not, their offense will not be good enough playing the pace they want to play and having James Harden be the only ISO guy. It's just not going to be able. Paul was their best ISO guy in this series. So you're going to have your whole formula, eliminating the Warriors' possessions, is a good formula and worked in Game 4 and worked in Game 5. But part of that is getting your own buckets in the half court, and you're doing it in isolation. And pretty much half your isolation offense left you here in Chris Paul. So you're going to have to make that up somewhere or totally change your formula. And I don't know. Listen, they let it get fast last night, and it ended up burning them in the end. The Warriors still will play fast better than anybody. And I think the Rockets realizing that and playing slower in the series has been a huge benefit to them. They have to stay with that, but you have to figure out ways to get buckets. I'll give you an interesting thing. Okay, as much as they went right at Joe Johnson in pick and roll, start that first bit, as soon as he got on the floor, I wouldn't be surprised if they need buckets if you see him try to hide Joe Johnson for a 3-4 minute clip in that Game 7 tomorrow night. But that's what it's going to be about for the Rockets. I'm much less concerned with how they defend the Warriors, much more concerned with tempo and their ability to score in a half court.
Geltz, last thing, and we got about a minute. The Rockets, looking forward, do you think that enough has been done in this series? And maybe this series, ultimately, it didn't matter how it looked. But for next season, is this just a case of they're going to find some sort of max deal, maybe not 5, maybe 3 years for Paul, and they're going to match anything on Capella, and they're going to roll it back with this group? Is that the most likely scenario for the Rockets?
I think so. I mean, and I wouldn't blame them at all. I mean, the thing is, if Paul doesn't get hurt here, you're probably beating the Warriors. I mean, it looks like you're right in perfect position to knock off the champs, which is what you shot it all to do. And yes, it's a heartbreaking type of injury situation with Paul, and they're certainly not dead yet. But if they lose it, I think you understood that the formula you put together was a good enough formula. You may want to supplement it a little bit, but you keep this core in place, man. This Paul Harden thing, listen, I beat it up when they first did it, not figured there'd be enough basketballs to make it work. Boy, was I wrong, man. These two guys were terrific together. And if I'm the Rockets, I want to keep that together for the next 3 years, as long as Paul still has borderline prime years left because of what he's been, what he's provided to Harden, what he's done for this team, who he's been defensively. It's worked great, and I think no matter what happens, I think the Rockets, regardless, should be running back the same unit next year.
Simple yes or no or 10-second answer or whatever. Is a Rockets team without Chris Paul favored over either of these two teams that are playing right now in the NBA Finals? And if so, how significantly?
Very yes and very little. A 1 or 2 point favorite, I would see, on a neutral court. The Rockets over either of these two teams without Chris Paul. Much more with them, quite obviously.
Obviously, yeah. Good stuff. Brian Geltzeiler. Get him on Twitter, at Hoops Critic. You can listen to him on SiriusXM, and you can catch him from time to time as well on NBA TV. Geltz, really appreciate you making time on a long weekend, man. And enjoy these games. Enjoy Game 7 tomorrow night. Look forward to catching up with you again soon. Thank you.
Always my pleasure, buddy. Talk to you soon. Take care.
All right, there it is. Brian Geltzeiler joining me on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.